Welcome to the Mitch Hanks Show, originating four blocks from Wisconsin's capital. Mitch is the radio voice of uncommon sense. All sides of an argument are welcome here. Just be prepared to make one, as Mitch argues for truth, not victory. Politics, lifestyle, pop culture are all on the table. So get ready to participate on the Mitch Hanks Show.
We're back, and we welcome Facebook viewers to our show, MadisonTalks.com, and we've got Bill Pascoe from the Media Research Center on the line. And I tell you, there's been a lot of speculation out there about what's going on with the president being stopped at every turn by judges, the visitor bans and the travel bans, and now the decision to withhold federal money from sanctuary cities and, again, stopped by a judge. Joining us now to talk about that, and hello, sir.
Good morning, Mitch. One quick correction. Though I have followed the work of the Media Research Center for years, I'm with Tea Party Patriots.
Oh, you're with Tea Party Patriots. Hey, I'm so sorry. You know, I swear to God, I'm stark sober. I haven't eaten a drink this morning. Or I haven't been freebasing this morning yet. No, I'm not going to freebase like Richard Pryor did. But here we are, and again, though, isn't this sort of a pattern? I mean, but you've got, what, 700 federal judges out there, right? So you can always find, something like that. Go ahead.
Yeah, and this guy in San Francisco, Judge Orrick, let's put this in context. It's not like this guy's been on the bench for a long time. This guy was a bundler for Barack Obama. He raised hundreds of thousands of dollars for Barack Obama in the 2008 campaign. He was then rewarded with a position in the Civil Division of Eric Holder's Department of Justice. And at the beginning of 2013, he was one of the judicial nominees that Harry Reid invoked the nuclear option for, so they could get this guy confirmed by the United States Senate. That's how he got his position on the federal bench in San Francisco. So it's not like he's got a long history of jurisprudence. And frankly, his approach to this case is rather stunning. You know, under the law, judges are there to adjudicate cases where there are disputes where actual harm has taken place. That is, they don't deal in hypotheticals. They don't deal in what-ifs. And yet, what's happened here in this case is the city of San Francisco and the county of Santa Clara brought suit against the Trump administration for something that they said might happen to them at some point in the future. The judge should have read the first page of the pleading and said, wait a minute. No harm has been done yet.
We haven't,
lost federal funds. You have no standing to sue. Come back when they've taken away funds, and then we'll talk. But he didn't.
It's kind of like a travel ban.
Because he apparently doesn't believe in that.
Well, on the travel ban, one of the judges was citing Trump's campaign rhetoric from December of 2015 or 2016, whatever it was. I think it was 15, as part of the law, which, of course, as we both know, had no standing as the campaign changed its position even after that. And who cares what the campaign slogan would have been when it comes to interpreting the statute, right?
Exactly. Imagine if Barack Obama had been held to campaign promises that you could, if you like your doctor, you could keep your doctor. If you like your plan, you could keep your plan. The Supreme Court might have ruled differently when it got a chance to look at the constitutionality of Obamacare. No, you don't take into account what a candidate says on the campaign trail. You take into account what the pleading says from the Department of Justice when the guy has become inaugurated as President of the United States. That's what should draw the attention of the judges, not what candidates say on the campaign trail.
I have heard one argument. Was it Richard Dreyfuss on Fox? Did you see that two nights ago? He was saying go ahead. The Congress.
Not only did I see that, Mitch, I actually posted that link on my Facebook page and got several dozen comments on it. That was a very interesting argument that he was making. Dreyfuss's argument was that the judge was right because Congress alone has the power of the purse, and therefore Congress has the power to threaten sanctuary cities with losing funds.
Or saying where the money should go, right? Right.
And he's got an excellent point there, except if, and this is the second problem that I had with Judge Orrick's ruling on the sanctuary cities executive order. The sanctuary cities executive order made very clear Trump made very clear in his order that he wants his administration to work with state and local governments to have federal immigration law enforced to the extent allowed by law. That phrase, to the extent allowed by law, is repeated in several different places in the executive order. That is, Congress sets the law. The president merely enforces the law. And all he was doing was telling the federal bureaucracy, I want you to do this within the confines of federal law. So Dreyfus's concern that Congress is the one that has the power of the purse, it's an accurate statement. I wish that more politicians in Washington understood that and abided by it. But it's actually kind of irrelevant to this point because Trump wasn't telling the federal, wasn't telling the executive branch, that they should do anything outside the law. And yeah, Dreyfus seemed to be of the opinion that that's what was happening.
Well, so how is it lawful ever for these cities to become sanctuary cities in the first place?
That's a great question, especially when there's federal law that specifically calls on state and federal state and local governments to work with the federal government in the enforcement of certain areas of immigration law.
That's
exactly what's at issue here. But let's play this out. So Judge Orrick has issued his restraining order blocking the Trump administration nationwide, by the way, not just in the city of San Francisco and the county of Santa Clara.
Isn't it fun to be a judge? You can just kind of do it.
That's right. So the Trump administration will appeal this. It'll go to the Ninth Circuit. We know what's very likely to happen in the Ninth Circuit. They'll agree with Judge Orrick. And then it'll go to the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court will do what it normally does. In 80% of the cases that get to the Supreme Court from the Ninth Circuit, the Supreme Court says, boy, you guys got that one wrong, and they overturn the ruling of the Ninth Circuit.
And
I anticipate that this will be overturned.
And we don't know that, of course, because Justice Kennedy, the Reagan appointee, is kind of the wild card, isn't he, Bill? Or you don't know what's
going on. More often than not, he comes down with the conservatives on the court. He is probably the most centrist of the nine. But I think he's likely to look at this. And first, it's going to be hard for any judge on the Supreme Court, for any of the justices on the Supreme Court, to look at the standing question and say, wait a minute, why are we even dealing with this case? No harm has been done. How did this court not reject the case to begin with?
You have standing, and you have the statute, you have the executive power, all this kind of stuff. And hey, I mean, in terms of the courts, though, the Arizona law? I mean, they were going to do their own thing on Sheriff Joe and the boys, and then Obama sued them. So
that's right, SB 1070.
So yeah. What standing? I mean, in other words, you said cooperate with the federal government to the extent possible under the law. Well, how did that case affect that concept?
Well, in that case, you had the federal government, under the direction of the president, suing a state government for a law that had been passed that the federal government believed would, the state law was in conflict with the federal law, and in cases like that, they believe that federal law supersedes state law. What I think is more important is that we remind your listeners, Mitch, that the reason that the Trump executive order is considered controversial at all is not because it promulgates new law. It's not an executive order where the president is asserting for himself powers that the Congress has not given him. In fact, it's exactly the opposite. As I said, at several points in the executive order, the phrase, to the extent allowed by law, is inserted specifically for the purpose of reminding everybody all we're doing here is enforcing laws on the books. But the reason that's controversial is because we've just come out of 8 years of an administration under Barack Obama where executive orders from the White House were essentially creating new law. They were ordering the federal bureaucracy to do things that were outside the bounds of what Congress had enacted. That's why it's controversial, and that's what's really ironic. Is that here you've got a guy who, in President Obama, we had a lawyer who taught constitutional law at a fine law school, who then directed the federal bureaucracy in multiple instances to do things that were outside the legal bounds of the executive branch, versus a businessman who has no training in the law, who orders the federal bureaucracy to follow the law. And he's the one who's getting hauled into court and finding, you know, because of judge shopping, obviously they're going to file that case somewhere in California. And because they find a good liberal judge, all of a sudden it looks like the president, the current president, is the outlaw. I find that remarkably ironic. And well, I look forward to the Supreme Court's decision smacking down Judge Orrick.
I'm sure you do, but we should point out that President Obama was stopped by the judge in Texas a couple of times, right, on the immigration changes. So, I mean, you know, you don't get carte blanche. I mean, it can go both ways. You get 700 judges out there, you can find a judge that you can count on. I mean, that's what happens now. I mean,
you know, and one of the things, Mitch, one of the things that President Trump tweeted about, I take that back. It wasn't in the tweet. I believe it was in one of the interviews he did as he approached the 100-day mark last week. He commented that maybe we ought to look at breaking up the Ninth Circuit. And, you know, that's been a topic on the table for 15 years now, at least 15 years. The Ninth Circuit is the largest of all the circuits. It's got almost a third of the population of the country in that one circuit. So there's no doubt that we might be better off breaking up the Ninth Circuit and creating new circuits just so we can reduce the administrative caseload on all of these judges. But that's not going to solve the problem of judge shopping. Liberals who are seeking to find a liberal judge will always be able to find.
You're
going to
find a judge you want. I mean, that's what happens. I mean,
that's exactly what happens.
It's like Wisconsin. You know, when Democrats challenge Governor Walker, they take it to a judge in Dane County, which is where Madison is. The Republicans try to take it to Waukesha County, which is suburban Milwaukee, which is the bellwether GOP county. And if they had their druthers, they'd take it there. That's what happens.
Right.
You know, so
and that's human nature, and that's political nature, and you won't be able to stop that. So,
and Bush v. Gore was only challenging in Democratic counties. I mean, what's he going to do? Challenge in Republican counties? You know, come on. So logic does enter into it at some point, Bill. It's sort of like Caitlyn Jenner going into a bathroom as dressed as a woman. And you want them to go into the men's bathroom. These states want them to go into a men's bathroom, which to me would cause a whole different kind of sort of problems. I mean, wait a minute. This person's got a dress. Anyway. But, well, stay on because we got some calls here, if that's okay, Bill. Tea Party Patriots, Bill Pascoe, The Mitch Hanks Show on MadisonTalks.com.
This is Pete Gunderson. Pre-planning a life celebration doesn't necessarily mean prepaying. At Gunderson Funeral and Cremation Care, we offer a variety of affordable options that you can pre-arrange for free. It's pre-planning without the worry of prepaying. Learn more at GundersonFH.com, your hometown life celebration center. Gunderson
Hi, I'm Mitch. I like to go on long walks to the Arboretum on a Sunday holding hands. I like to talk about relationships. I'm a gourmet cook. I like poetry. I like to go rock climbing on the weekends with my non-drinking friends.
My name's Mitch Hanks. Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. You're right on.
Need a comedian or MC for your private party or corporate event? Don't be shy. I can do it without telling any dirty jokes. In fact, when I'm not doing my Frank Sinatra tribute show, I've done stand-up at the comedy club and at private events for years. Whether it's a large convention or private gathering in your living room, I've done it. We all need to laugh more. The world can be even more stressful than it is. There's no business like show business, and I usually find those of you who have the best jokes about your coworkers at the company dinner. So feel free to contact me at 347-0374. That's 347-0374. Email at info@madisontalks.com. That's info@madisontalks.com.
Talk radio will never be the same. The uncommon sense of Mitch Hank has been unleashed worldwide. This is the all-new Mitch Hank Show.
If you're running a B2B business, there's a brand new 3-minute video that can change your company and change your life at needmoreme.com. If you're a B2B business owner, boss, or manager struggling to find more time to sell while still running the rest of your business, the new science of virtual relationship building can grow sales for you and as you. If your business has larger relationship-based sales with a long selling cycle and you need help driving more revenue, learn about the future of B2B sales in 3 minutes at needmoreme.com. That's needmoreme.com.
Joe here from Comedy on State. Looking for something to do for your girl's bachelorette party? Trust me, we can take care of that for you. Come to Comedy on State. It's so easy. You can go to madisoncomedy.com. You can purchase your tickets right from the website. You don't even have to talk to anybody over the phone if you're a weird person. Let's be honest, you're probably a weirdo. You're listening to Mitch.
For a list of upcoming Comedy Club performers or to purchase tickets, go to madisoncomedyclub.com and click shows. Performer bios are available by clicking on their pictures.
That's Comedy on State. madisoncomedy.com or 256-0099.
Welcome back to the Mitch Hanks Show. Mitch seeks the truth by inviting all sides of the issue. Thanks for listening to the Mitch Hanks Show.
We got Bill Pasco from the Tea Party Patriots on the phone. Your calls, left, right, center, I don't care. 210-1667, 210-1667, area code 608. And hello, Laverne.
Yes, good morning. Senator Sullivan from Alaska and then Senator Daines, I don't know where he's from, are introducing a bill to break up the Ninth Circuit Court into two different courts. It would be, one would be California and Hawaii and some outlying islands or whatever, and then the rest of the states, Washington, Oregon, Montana, blah, 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 that are now in the Ninth would be in a separate circuit. I'm curious what you would think of that idea and what you think the chances of that happening might be.
Well, I think it's a fine idea. As I said, there is a massive administrative caseload for the judges on the Ninth Circuit. I don't think we have enough judges on the Ninth Circuit to handle the caseload. That's an argument for splitting it up. The problem is we've seen this done, or we've seen attempts going back to the early 2000s, and they just haven't been able to find a way to get it through the Congress. So I think it's a good idea. I wouldn't bet on it happening.
I've heard, according to Senator Sullivan, I mean, if the legislators are interested in people getting justice by going to the courts, the Ninth Circuit is like 40% behind the rest of the districts or whatever. So, if not split, then I guess more judges so that people can actually get their day in court.
Exactly.
I'm not sure where the other district would be, though. They break it up into multiple districts. Where would they sit? Because you mentioned, Laverne, Hawaii and some other islands. What other islands besides the one?
I don't remember.
Yeah, U.S. territories out in the Pacific.
Exactly.
Northern Marianas.
So in other words, we'd break it up into different districts, but where would they lie? I mean, would they be in Wyoming to kind of make it more conservative, or how does this work?
Well, I'm not sure that that's actually in a bill, if they just have federal courthouses now out there somewhere. If they'd pick something centrally located with Washington, Utah, Oregon, Montana, Idaho, whatever. If you want to get something done and you're in that circuit, you have to wait an awful long time to be able to get your day in court compared to other districts.
Mm-hmm. Of course, aren't we talking about, breaking up the court like FDR talked about in 1937, which kind of backfired on him, or is this a smaller topic?
FDR wanted to pack the court.
Or pack the court,
This would be a situation where it's been done before, right? We didn't always have nine circuits.
No.
Right? So this has been done before, and it's done through the legislative process. So, one would hope that if the legislators want justice for you know, people to get their day in court, this sounds like a wonderful idea to me.
Well, you know, could that pass? We'll bring Bill in here. Could that pass the Senate? You think they go for that kind of thing?
Well, I think that's the kind of thing that's actually it's not bipartisan. It's nonpartisan. There isn't necessarily a partisan advantage here to to splitting up the court.
Well, can you find me a Democrat who would vote for that? I mean, maybe Joe Manchin of West Virginia, maybe, but I can't think of another singular Democrat who would vote for that.
Well, the thing is, I can't think of a reason, I can't think of a partisan reason that a Democrat in California, I can't understand why Dianne Feinstein wouldn't support that, because it's her constituents who are being denied speedy justice. They're the ones in California. Or Patty Murray in Washington, which is part of the Ninth Circuit. It's their constituents who are having to wait forever if they've got a case before a federal court in the Ninth Circuit.
It's a noble attempt.
There's no partisan interest in blocking an attempt to break up the Ninth Circuit.
Well, you don't just wait till the Supreme Court overrules them. No, I understand what you're saying. I would be shocked if Dianne Feinstein voted for that, but hey, maybe you know something I don't know.
Well, you know, here's the thing. As I said, I remember back in 2005, I actually did some research on this last week, and in 2005 there were four different bills that had been introduced in the Senate to break up the Ninth Circuit. One of them, in fact, three of them were going to create one new circuit, so they were going to split the circuit in two. One of them was going to create two new circuits. They wanted to split the circuit into three different circuits. So that's more than a dozen years ago, and nothing came of that bill. So I presume that there have been other more recent attempts to do this, and the fact that it hasn't happened is an indicator that you may be onto something, Mitch. Maybe there's something that I'm not seeing that's preventing.
Well, it's all about the bottom line.
Senators
it's,
in particular,
it's all about the bottom line, Bill. I mean, forget about ideology. I mean, let's face it. As we've seen so often, the facts don't matter if it means we're going to lose. I mean, the key is to win here at all costs. I mean, we're seeing it. We saw it during the hearings on the Lincoln bedroom being rented out. I mean, the Democrats on that committee wanted no part of it. I mean, we've come a long way from the Watergate committee where Senator Baker wanted to get to the truth. I mean, it's a new ballgame out there, Bill.
Well, you've got a point there, Mitch, and that's an unfortunate comment on the state of American politics, particularly at the federal level. But I think your point is valid. It is all about winning.
Well, it's like what a long time. Thanks, Laverne, for calling. Legislative aide told me, he goes, we hate each other now. They used to go to have beers together after work, and they play cards. But not anymore. I mean, they literally hate each other. And moderates. Oh, huh. Hey, by the way, who's that moderate in the Tuesday group? Charlie Dent. I mean, it gets quiet in the men's room when he goes in there, don't you think, with the Freedom Caucus guys? Are they kind of looking away? It's like Francis Gary Powers going on the cargo plane after the switch with the Soviet spy back in 1960. I gotta be. It's pretty quiet. So
I would think we're having some problems with that Obamacare repeal bill, no doubt about it.
And on that one, by the way, Fred Upton just said I'm voting no. The guy from Western Michigan I used to cover, because they can't guarantee the basic coverage on the opt out thing. I'm thinking, well, what do you tell Charlie Dent or Fred Upton? Okay, you don't want to lose any pre-existing coverage and basic stuff. But why aren't you just becoming a Democrat? And they say, well, no, I want premiums to come down. Well, how are you going to make premiums come down? And what are they going to say? I mean, you know, right?
Well, this is the problem. This is what this exercise has revealed to the world, and that is, unfortunately, it seems there's somewhere between 40 and 50 members of the House Republican Conference who do not want to repeal Obamacare. You cannot.
Well, no, because
That's it. There's no such thing as a free lunch.
Well,
you cannot have.
You're guaranteed.
You cannot have the guarantee.
Hey, you got a guarantee, though. You have a guarantee in the law. So that's why you have these people standing up, Bill, at these tea party or these town halls saying, my husband's had five surgeries and we paid $29 a month. And that's why you have that, because of that condition. I mean, it's in the, so taking that away causes people to go nuts. I mean, isn't that what, the bottom line?
Well, I think you're right. What's not happening is that the people who have seen their premiums go through the roof are not going to the town hall.
They don't show up at the town halls, no. They really don't. They never do. The taxpayers are the people who pay. They never show up. Only the people who want something show up or are getting something who didn't get it before, they show up. That's what happens. But anyway, I didn't mean to be depressing for you there, Bill. I know you're out there fighting. You're trying to fight the good fight.
Well, here's the good news, Mitch. You're right. Fred Upton came out yesterday, and the reason Fred Upton from Western Michigan is important, he's not just any regular Republican member of Congress. He's the former chairman of the Energy and Commerce Committee, who for years was leading the fight to repeal Obamacare and was actually writing Obamacare repeal bills himself. So for him to come out and say yesterday that he's not going to vote for the bill as it currently stands, that was really a warning sign to the House leadership.
Bill,
the good news is that as of last night, he's drafting an amendment. The leadership is working on an amendment with him, hoping that not only they'll get his vote, but that they'll get the votes of other people in that so-called moderate Tuesday group.
Right.
I don't know why they insist on being called moderate. They're liberal.
We got to go, but 10 years ago, the GOP conference signed on to pre-existing conditions. 10 years ago. I don't know what's going on here. Anyway, Bill, we thank you very much for the Tea Party Patriot. Well, give me a website real quick.
TeaPartyPatriots.org. Good to be with you, Mitch.
All right, thanks, Bill. All right, take care. And who's fighting mad is Mike Michelson. The stage is set. He is so mad about this budget thing. So you at home can see the seething people on this bill. And this is the Mitch Hanks Show at MadisonTalks.com.
Mitch Hanks for Atterbury, Cameron, Haig.
I'm proud to be sitting next to senior partner and a man who's been voted Wisconsin's super lawyer multiple times, Eric Haig. Eric, is it true you've never taken a check from a client in 20 years?
We only get paid if we win, and 20 years of practicing law, I've never had a client to have to pay me for their time.
You don't take every case, quality over quantity?
Some of the bigger firms that do a lot of advertising are trying to take in as many cases as they can, as fast as they can. We actually reject more cases than we accept. We're trying to take a case where we can give it the time it deserves to be properly managed and litigated to get it ready for trial. Once you get beyond that number, the quality can suffer. So we're looking to provide high-quality legal service, and it's not about the numbers. We want to do those cases that we do have right.
So when you need a lawyer, do what I did. Call Atterbury, Cameron, Haig and reach them at yourwisconsininjurylawyers.com. That's yourwisconsininjurylawyers.com.
Good research will make you wiser and more successful. If you operate a business, create a product, or provide a service, what don't you know that your customers know? There are multiple answers to that question that will help you realize greater success. Troy Research is a consumer opinion market research company that finds answers to important questions. Where can good research take your business? Call or email to talk about it. Troy Research, 271-8884, or email jlittle@troyresearch.com.
The all-new Mitch Hanks Show would like to thank our sponsors. We're grateful for their support of the all-new Mitch Hanks Show.
6AM Marketing is a Wisconsin-based ad agency that doesn't look or act like other ad agencies. They don't follow conventional thinking and constantly push themselves and their clients to test the bounds of how far they can go. The result is relationships that have lasted more than 10 years. Clients refer to 6AM and their work as fresh, insightful, strategic, edgy, and creative. 6AM shows customers why your products and services are better than the competition. 6AM's brand smart process helps you establish your brand in the market for years to come. With a client's marketing team by its side, 6AM digs for the business problem the client is trying to solve and the business goals and objectives they hope to achieve, examining the market, competitors, the brand's consumers, and messaging to define a brand proposition that is both compelling and unique to the market. 6AM Marketing. They do it differently, and they do it well. Go to 6ammarketing.com. That's www.6ammarketing.com.
Two Bridges was one of the toughest neighborhoods in New York, especially in the Al Smith projects. It was a no man's land with no rules. On Christmas Eve 1951, Mac Pastamadeo vanished without a trace while walking home with his little boy Angelo. Now 13, Angelo is a gang member and the only witness to the brutal murder of an undercover cop who holds a clue to Mac's disappearance 6 years ago. Stalked by killers, Angelo becomes part of an unlikely alliance of a priest, a mob boss, and a police detective in order to uncover the truth behind the murder and Mac's disappearance. Weepers by Nick Chiarkis.
Welcome to the Mitch Hanks Show, originating four blocks from Wisconsin's capital. Mitch is the radio voice of uncommon sense. All sides of an argument are welcome here. Just be prepared to make one, as Mitch argues for truth, not victory. Politics, lifestyle, pop culture are all on the table. So get ready to participate on the Mitch Hanks Show.
All right. I hope you show up tonight at our meet and greet for MadisonTalks.com listeners. We have loyal listeners that have been with us for a long time and were with us when we were on from 8 to 11. And we want to thank you for that and share with you our vision as we go forward here on MadisonTalks.com. The Mitch Hanks Show, which airs live 8 to 10, could be live whenever. I mean, it's going to be the day of. We know that. I mean, someday it may go to 4 to 6, could be later. I don't know. For the time being, it's 8 to 10. The important thing is, when you go to MadisonTalks.com and click live, you're going to get whatever's playing on the website or replaying on the website at that time. And if it's my show, it's going to be that day. It's going to be same day. The whole point about a podcast is you can listen whenever you want. And that's why it's called, I mean, a podcast by definition is a show that's recorded. It was recorded previously. Now, live stream podcast, so when you do it, it's live. It's happening as we talk. So right now we're getting a red hot mad Mikey Michelson, but we're having trouble connecting. But we will in a second or two. But you can do one too. That's the point. Do a podcast on a book you're trying to sell. We said Bob Schlicht, who was the head of M&I Bank, wrote a book on mentors in his life, did four podcasts. Very good. You can find him on the Madison Talks podcast page on madisontalks.com. You have a cause to champion. You have a disease to eradicate. Do all kinds of stuff. You can talk about it on Madison Talks. You've got an engineer, a studio, and we will post it on our website, on our podcast page. So it's all part of the deal. It's a kind of a brave new world. When you record your show, it is, in fact, live, so people can hear it from overseas. We have three phone lines. They can call you. It's kind of cool. Now, Brian Beebe will be in today. He does a podcast every Wednesday at 2 o'clock. He's a piano bar singer and performer up in the Dells at Sorrento's at the Wilderness. He is just phenomenal. And he does stories about the Beatles and the Stones or whatever, just music changing, jazz, pop. And he sings on the air. He's just fantastic. Every Wednesday at 2. He's also on Facebook Live, so his friends can follow him. A man who doesn't have his own podcast yet, but it's only a matter of time, Mike Michelson joins me now. Mike, of course, could do what with the GOP podcast apparatus, probably, but what is that, in the basement of the Capitol? Hello, Mike.
Hi, Mitch. How are you?
I'm good. I'm just wondering where those podcasts are done. Is it somewhere in the Capitol, the bottom
of... Yeah, we have a very high-tech studio here in the Capitol that people use quite regularly. So, yep, we have a number of members who do that.
Yeah, okay. Well, you guys are all lined up. So you're not happy, Mike. I mean, the conservatives out there, Rush Limbaugh, Ann Coulter, all the way down the line. Charles Krauthammer said last night that the president got rolled on this budget. And of course, they fought back, Mick Mulvaney, and they said, no, wait a minute. They didn't get any money for Puerto Rico. They didn't get any money for any Obamacare bailouts. They didn't get any money for this or that. We got 10 times as much for border security. In other words, they were fighting back. But I don't think you were impressed, huh, Mike?
No, I think, you know, a lot of national budget observers would point out that in this negotiation, the Democrats basically got upwards of 85-90% of their negotiating points. The only thing you can really say, and the president and his staff have been emphasizing this, has been the $21 billion increase in defense spending. But I would point out that the problem now is that they're saying, oh, we're going to fight this 2018 federal budget. But by approving what they've approved or assumed to approve, they are going to dramatically increase the base that you're arguing from. So instead of dealing with the reality that government spends too much, they just inflated the numbers for the 2018 negotiations, which, you know, frankly, a lot of people have been saying the problem with Washington, D.C., whether Democrat or Republican, is that they constantly promise the next time. We'll fix everything the next time, and then it never happens.
Well, that's what Rush told Mike Pence yesterday. And Pence wanted nothing of it. Again, talking about there's no money for renewables, or there's no money for this or that, or Puerto Rico. And we did defense, and, you know, yada, yada. So you say, well, but you're concerned about what, Mike? The wall? Planned Parenthood, what are the bullet points?
Well, Mitch, there's really a couple of issues, and it really comes down to this. Like we've seen here in Wisconsin, comparing to the national level, Republicans, you know, again, run and get elected by saying, in terms of the policy, they're going to reform government, they're going to balance budgets, they're going to make cuts where necessary. In Wisconsin, we've seen that with Governor Walker since 2011. Reforms and cuts, and you know, now we have some extra money and we're making dividends. We're investing in K-12 education, $650 million. So the point is, when you keep your word, the voters will see that it works, and they will, you know, reelect you. That's the bottom line. But the key really is here, Mitch, it's about keeping your word. And one of the things we have right now, the problem we have in Washington, D.C., and it's very clear, it's both parties, is they cannot keep their word. That's
okay,
the
so the biggest one would be what, the wall, or what's the biggest issue?
Well, I think you saw that there was, in terms of fiscal sanity, if you're going to spend $21 billion more on defense, then you would reasonably expect, if you're going to keep a balanced approach, you're going to have cuts other places. That's not occurring. What you'll see in this budget is many of the places that the president, his own budget priorities, and what House and Senate Republicans have said, places they want to cut, have all been funded, and in many cases, actually increase funding for the remainder of this year.
So what are you going to cut? I mean, I remember Mitt Romney mentioned Big Bird and public TV. They don't even cut that. There's nothing they can. They don't cut anything, do they, Mike?
There is. That's exactly the problem. So there is a tremendous amount of discretionary spending, and the problem we have is, you know, again, public TV, public radio is one small piece of that. Everybody wants to focus on those, but when you take program by program and you start adding up the dollars, Mitch, it turns into real money. And so when everybody likes to defend us by saying, oh, public TV or public radio only gets this much from the feds, that's true. That's one program. But when you add that up across the expanse of the U.S. government, all of the programs, those dollars start adding up to real money. So at some point, Mitch, if we're ever to get to a federal budget that's close to being balanced, that is sustainable, we are going to have to make adjustments. We are going to have to make cuts in some places, and you're going to have to increase spending in others. But what we've seen in Washington is constantly, in order to get a deal, everybody gets what they want, and the taxpayers get the bill.
Okay, so what would conservatives be happy with? Okay, you put in a couple of billion for the wall. You don't fund Planned Parenthood at all. You know, you rattle off maybe three or four things that would make conservatives happy.
There's no question, much like we've done here in Wisconsin, there are many places you can cut federal bureaucrats. The EPA, the U.S. Department of Education, reductions at the U.S. Department of Energy, all across the expanse of government, there are a lot of extra positions that could be cut. First of all, that's the savings. Secondarily, in terms of priority, you know, we cannot be allowing earmarks, you know, even through the governmental programs, for all sorts of, you know, the National Institutes of Health and the National Science Foundation make a lot of loans, or excuse me, a lot of grants with federal tax dollars, much of it for legitimate, important research and development, but a lot of it also is not. And so, again, there's a place you can start to make some cuts. In terms of the U.S. Department of Education, we see a lot of title money going out to states where it has little to no impact. We don't see it having any success with regards to student achievement. Let's be honest. Poor students right now, many of the programs that the U.S. Department of Education puts money out to deal with students who are in poverty, we can see from the academic performance of those students that it's failing. Those programs are not working. So do we ever reform those? The answer is no. Now, we assumed, with having both a Republican president and a Republican Congress, those things would be reformed. Doesn't always mean you're spending less, but we find a way to spend our money better.
Well, if you had to do any of that, let's be fair, no Democrat would vote for any of that. You've got certain moderate Republicans who wouldn't vote for it, so to do that stuff, you'd almost have to dare them to live with the government shutdown, right? My God, that's the only way it would happen.
Mitch, if this country is ever to get its spending, nobody wants to end up like Greece, and the United States is a long way from that, but we continue to march towards the abyss, and we all want to pretend there are priorities.
Relate to that, yeah.
Well, yeah, I mean, the reality, Mitch, is, you know, we need economic growth, which will help, right? If you have more economic growth, the government has more money to spend, which lessens arguably the need for massive cuts. That's true. But in order to encourage growth, you have to put money back into the pockets of the people who spend money. It's simple economics. And right now what's happening in Washington is the United States government, the federal government, thinks it has to be involved in everything. It doesn't.
Well, if Donald Trump said, okay, some parks are closed and some federal offices are closed, but who cares? I mean, a lot of his voters wouldn't care. And of course, unless they're on the payroll.
Entitlement checks continue to go out, a lot of those things. And, you know, remember, these issues, Mitch, government closures, no one wants that. But sometimes you have to force that so that you get down to really true negotiating. Mitch, this budget deal, the Republicans' only priority seems to be to have gotten a deal. There's nothing in terms of...
No money for Puerto Rico, Mike. How about that? You know, like the third thing Mick Mulvaney mentioned was no money for Puerto Rico. I kind of forgot about that.
No money for Puerto Rico, but supposedly we're hearing there's commitments that in the 2018 budget there will be money.
Well, I forgot about Puerto Rico. When I think of Puerto Rico, I think of Bobby Knight and a cop back
Mitch,
in the...
We bailed out California in this budget deal. Their commuter rail, their high-speed rail, which has been an absolute disaster in California... there's money in this budget, actually increased money, to bail them out with that project, a project which they themselves have admitted has been a boondoggle.
Wow, a couple of billion, you think?
Oh,
more than that, huh?
More than that, Mitch. Part of the problem here is, again, you got to look at all expenditures. And the problem with Congress is they're like, I don't want to deal with the pocket change. The regal attitude we see out in Congress. And that's what bugs the American voter on both sides. That's why we're seeing both Democrats and Republican voters who are saying, you know, the federal government really doesn't focus on what they're doing. They don't. And that's part of oversight responsibilities. They spend time arguing over things like whether Russia and, you know, and the elections and all of that stuff. And so what ends up happening is they don't focus on the significant budget issues and priorities of the American people.
I want to know what you think is going to happen to Trump and Trump voters if you don't get what you want. Just hang tough on The Mitch Hank Show on MadisonTalks.com. The great Joe DiMaggio still holds the major league record for the longest hitting streak at 56 games. Bucks Takeout Pizza has a 56-year winning streak for the best thin crust pizza in the city. Bucks Pizza has a unique taste like no other. Handmade pizzas with homemade sauce and homemade sausage. Two Madison locations on University Avenue and Cottage Grove Road. Just go to BucksPizzaMadison.com. BucksPizzaMadison.com.
In real estate, you want to work with Tim Rayl.
Most realtors just came in and talked with you and then put an ad in the paper. Tim came in and said, here's what we're going to do. he had a plan, and it was spectacular. It really worked well, and I couldn't have been happier.
Let's get ink on paper today with Realtor Tim Rail of Coldwell Banker Success, 698-7653.
I would recommend Tim Rail to anyone who had a house for sale in the Dane County area.
Tim Rail, 698-7653.
This is the all-new Mitch Hanks Show.
When it comes to telephone on-hold advertising, some commonly asked questions are, why do we need an on-hold message? How do we write a script? How long should the message be? How does the message get played? How much does it cost? I'm Bob of Abella Creative Services, and a telephone on-hold message speaks directly to your target audience while they're on hold with your company. Continuously advertises only your business without the clutter of competitive ads and for just a fraction of conventional advertising costs. At Bob Abella Creative Services, we'll help you draft a well-written script, provide the appropriate announcer, music, or sound effects, and the studio time and expertise to put it all together. We'll also provide you with any special equipment you might need to play your on-hold message. Even though we probably have more experience than most other on-hold message companies, we'll cost you less. Let Bobabella Creative Services stretch your advertising dollar with an on-hold message that provides your customers with real, actionable solutions to their problems. Bobabella Creative Services gets results. Just send us an email at bacsgetsresults@gmail.com. That's bacsgetsresults@gmail.com.
If you operate a business, you know there is no one-size-fits-all solution for today's technology challenges. MadisonGeeks.com plans, services, and installs technologies for small and medium businesses like network systems, servers, firewalls, wireless access points, telecommunications, security, remote service options, and business productivity solutions. MadisonGeeks.com is your IT staff. They take time to sit down to discuss your needs and present cost-effective solutions. With a Better Business Bureau A-plus rating, they are your trusted IT outsource partner. Expect less downtime. Faster resolutions lead to more productivity. Fewer day-to-day issues. Their proactive maintenance helps prevent issues from occurring. MadisonGeeks.com also offers computer and laptop service and repair. Madison Geeks are there to help. They're known for their candid, friendly approach and reliable, ready response. Check them out online at MadisonGeeks.com.
Welcome back to the Mitch Hanks Show. Mitch seeks the truth by inviting all sides of the issue. Thanks for listening to the Mitch Hanks Show.
Well, the theme for today has really been conservatives and heat. Rush was mad, Ann Coulter, the gang, yesterday, and they sent Mike Pence on Rush's show to calm the waters, talking about how he got defense increase. Mike Michelson, our voice of the right here, so the defense increase doesn't hold water for your gang on the right, Mike, because too many foreign wars to begin with? Is that the deal?
Well, Mitch, that's one piece, but no one, you know, I think what you've seen with regards to the public is, okay, they're for defense. Yeah, that's one piece. But to trade off an increase in defense spending against everything else that's going on, no, in terms of that type of trade, you cannot call that a success. And, you know, I'll be honest with you, Mitch, it also has ties to Wisconsin. So, you know, as Senator Noss and other members of the legislature have constantly complained to our congressional delegation, Wisconsin does not get treated well in federal formulas. You know why? Because what ends up happening is the bad actors, Illinois, California, New York, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, many of these states run by Democrats are disasters. And what they do is they never fix their problems. They keep spending, and then they just wait. They know that if they get bad enough, the feds will bail them out through all of these various programs.
Why can't I do that? Can I do that, Mike? You know, just let the bills go, and I won't pay the rent or the mortgage.
Sure. You know, and what happens, Mitch, is
why can't I call somebody to be bailed out?
Yeah, you know what happens to the little guy that does that, Mitch? You end up ruined. You have poor credit. What we call that is, you know, in Democratic states, that's called good governance, because their view is eventually we will force the hand of the Fed because we're too big to fail. That's the attitude.
I'm moving to New Jersey. They have like 24-hour Sinatra stations there. That's where I'm going.
Luckily, hopefully not paid for by the government.
And I could go broke and they bail me out.
So these things, Mitch, have a direct impact on states like Wisconsin, where we do it the right way. We're frugal. Even Democrats in this state are far more frugal than their colleagues in other states. And so where we do the right things, we get hurt by the way the federal government cuts these budget deals. And so we encourage the bad actors around the country to continue to be bad actors, and that makes government
sustainable. But please don't insult Fred Risser or Lisa Subak and call them frugal.
I will say this in fairness, in many cases, compared to some of their colleagues in some of these other states like Illinois, they actually are.
Oh, yeah? Mm-hmm. There you go. How about that? You and John Erpenbach and Fred and Lisa, they all get together for a pizza after the show.
There are frugal Democrats here in Wisconsin, but it's our nature, Mitch. But the problem is, these are serious national issues, and that's why these budget deals continue
all right,
to encourage.
So what's going to happen?
What,
time is short. Are Trump's crowds getting smaller then? What's going to happen?
Well, in terms of the politics, Mitch, there's no question that if Republicans fail to keep their words, it's pretty much, voters always have the ability to deliver the death blow. They did it to the Democrats, and anybody who thinks they can't do it to the Republicans is sorely mistaken. The voters always have and have always shown their ability to register judgments. And if we continue to fail at the national level to deliver on our promises, the voters will revolt, frankly, bring vengeance on us.
And sit on their hands in the midterm?
Yes.
Then Democrats win. Democrats then win, and then what do they do?
And that's where the policy ties into the politics. What ends up happening then is the Democrats get into control and things get worse. But the problem is the voters only have two choices. You either vote Republican or you vote Democrat in these cases. And so, again, if you don't keep your word, it's about keeping your word.
I understand.
If you don't keep your word as a party in terms of the policy in government, then you're going to pay a price. The voters only have two choices, and they'll choose the other choice to send a message.
You know, keeping your word is like a marriage. Before you get married, you have a marriage counselor, and you agree that the one night out a week with the boys would have to end, but then she never gives it up.
Well, let me just put it this way. If the federal government were compared to a marriage, I think we would all agree that counseling would not help.
No, I wouldn't think. Well, I'm going to see it when all the revolution stuff happens, Mike. Are you going to be sitting there having a beer?
Around?
You'll be over there with... Mark Pocan's staff having a beer somewhere over by Jenna's. I don't know what's going to happen.
That would be fine, although I don't hang out in fancy places like that, Mitch. I like old-fashioned places where you can sit down with people with collarless shirts and have a beer. That's more fun.
You don't find collarless shirts at Jenna's?
Not a lot, no.
I would find Scott Jensen and his staff there quite a bit back in the day with white shirts. I'd see a lot of white. I knew I saw Republicans. I saw white shirts. It's kind
Mitch,
of a weird.
You
thing.
And I are built for. You and I are built to go to places that, frankly, a lot of younger people don't go.
Much longer though, Mike, because the diet starts, man. By the way, the meet and greet is tonight for Madison Talks listeners at 6 at Babe. So if you got nothing going on, you know.
Okay, yeah, I'm aware of it. I'll try. Hopefully I get out of work in time to do that, Mitch.
You can confront some people on the left and break bread.
I think we will break bread and finish a few beers. That's true.
All right, Mike, thank you so much. Appreciate
Thanks,
the insights.
Bye-bye.
See, I don't know what's going on until I talk. George is there. George, I'm sorry, but Mike had to go. Hello, George.
Oh, I wanted to just ask him, what do we do now that the Fox News... They're the liberal left losers are making all these sex accusations on our Fox guys, and they're trying to ruin them that way. So what are we going to watch? We just only have you to listen to for real news. Fake news.
Until I make an ugly sexual advance, and then I'll be gone. I mean, luckily, though, I'm not in a position to make any sexual advances right now.
Look out for Chris tonight. I mean, you
I would
don't
be
want a sexual
well,
advance there. You know?
I'd be refused at every corner. See, I have no power to threaten somebody with.
Oh, well,
I don't have jobs to give them. So, I mean, sometimes you're insulated against committing sexual harassment because...
Yeah, but you should have one of your hot liberal listeners, girls, sit across from you there. I can see right to the right. They could sit there and you guys could go back and forth and she could be the hot liberal lady.
Do you want her to go and, clean my dishes too, George? Maybe vacuum for me as well?
Like.
So I can raise my feet up in the air.
Help her out. It's God's creation.
I mean, how chauvinistic do you want us to get here?
That's not chauvinistic. The way God made people is chauvinistic now, you know?
Hey, I was a single parent, and the only thing I couldn't do is breastfeed.
I could, well, you might have been able to, but nothing like
I could clean. I could, well, no, it's a family show, but. So I'm not into this whole stereotyping stuff. I don't go for
it. Well, I don't eat. Oh, why? Good that God made men and women, so now you're a stereotype.
God didn't say men can't vacuum, George, or men can't cook.
I know.
When did God say that? You will not cook. You will. She will cook.
Men, we protect our house and beat off the other men and bring animals in to eat and be cooked by the woman, you know, and put it on the table.
Really?
Yeah.
What if you beat off your ex-wife and say, well, we're living in separate residences.
Well, actually, you still have to get along with her.
Well, I get along with her great now. She has a really nice husband. He's been married to her for like 20 years. Yeah. It's a wonderful thing. It's wonderful when you can live in different buildings.
Anyway.
Well, I recommend it. Anyway,
I'm excited about tonight, Mitch. Are we going to have scotch? You're going to have scotch.
You know what? I may invite my ex-wife. What do you think? Wouldn't that be fun?
Oh,
Mitch invites his ex-wife.
Autographs?
Well, I mean, her husband would be invited too, but
because
you know he and I used to sit at the teacher conferences all the time. People thought we were gay. Oh, he had his little keys on his belt and his little cell phone, and people thought, "Oh boy!" Of course, I'd see their eyes get real wide when they'd walk in. I'd say, "So what's for dinner tonight?" Just to cross them up.
Well,
anyway.
Tonight we're all on your side there.
Yes.
We're on Mitch Hank's side.
Yes.
And everything like that.
Tonight, 6 o'clock, meet and greet at Babe's for Madison Talks listeners. Thank you, George. We'll see you there.
Bye-bye.
And it'll be fun. Also, we want to thank Bob Keller for the space here on West Washington Avenue. Bob Keller and the Keller Real Estate Group, they have space to check out, lease apartments, all that kind of thing. 1, 2, 3 bedroom studios, you name it, Tuscan Place, Washington Court, West Side, Whitcomb Square for seniors in Orchard Ridge. Also, Mike Brockabell, our engineer, we thank you. Bob Abella, the wide world of radio is next. He's got radio shows, classic radio back in the 30s and 40s coming up next. We will see you tomorrow right here on The Mitch Hank Show at MadisonTalks.com.